So I want to introduce you to the website. It is at adocvolunteering.com. And when you get there, it's going to look something like this. And this is the home site. There's a control off to the side. You might see that menu off to the side. I'm just going to quickly go through here. I'm going to talk about chaplains who are going to love this ministry partner side here. But this is basically how the site is set up. The four courses are lined up here. When you have access, this is what you will see. This is my administrator view, and it has instructions for the volunteers on what they need to do, what quizzes and course to take. They got their application forms, and they just download the forms and
they, let me jump in here for our purposes. They will still have to fill out the 216 forms on paper and turn them in. The entering of personal identification information on the website violated all kinds of state technology guidelines, principles, and those things. So we could not make it where they could do the NCIC check forms online. So they'll have to download them, fill them out, make arrangements with you to get those forms to you. That's just to protect people's private information. And Chuck and I are going to do this all through this presentation. I'll talk about DOC stuff while he talks about technical stuff. So, excuse me. Go ahead.
No problem. And then the general user won't be able to see these, but we'll get to this later, and I'll show you some of the spreadsheets, because what will happen is as users log on to the site and get user IDs, I can export the data to Excel spreadsheets, and then we can filter those for each of the institutions. So I'll just show you generally how that looks. In fact, well, since I'm there, you'll be able to pull up your spreadsheets, a list of volunteers by institution.
And the rest of the institutions will be added in the future to that area.
And I think I can do an example. And this is live data, by the way. We've already had some there. So this is a list of names of all the volunteers for, is that showing up? Oh,
yeah.
Good. It's a list of volunteers for all of, for Bullock so far that we have. And you'll also be able to see the date that they took the PREA test and the date that they took the chaplaincy test. And we're still waiting for approval on the women's side to accept.
No,
we're
not.
All right.
We assume we have that.
Yeah. All right. So let me get out of here.
One point is this is actually sorted by the volunteers first. No, well, why is this? A lot of this sorts, the program sorts by first name, first initial or first name. So you're going to find a lot of that sorted by first name rather than last name.
But if you want it sorted by last name, just let me know. It's Excel, real easy, takes like 30 seconds. Okay, let me go back to the dashboard, and what I'm going to do is on the site home, I've got instructional videos for users. I'll have instructional videos for you guys as well, but we'll go through this real quickly. I think it's only about 5 minutes long or whatever, so there's instructional videos to show them how to use the site, and when you get ready to get your accounts. I was playing around with the music, really kind of.
So we're going to take a look at how a new person will register on the new Alabama Department of Corrections online. And you want to do this? So that site, so we talk. EDocVolunteering.com, I've already been here, so I'm going to click on that. I'm not logged in. So I'm coming in as a guest. And as a guest, I can see four courses, the feedback here on the site. I have the instructions. I have the volunteer forms. I should be able to access the volunteer forms.
You'll notice that guests and users are not seeing the same things that you guys are going to be able to see. So we got certain permissions that prevent them from seeing those things.
Back to the home page. So now the question is, if I want to be a religious volunteer, it's going to ask me for my login. I have a previous login. I don't want to use that. I want to create a new account. I have a username. My username is going to be password. And make sure that you're following the password. Rules that are stated here in the state checkers. And must have at least one lowercase name here. And some kind of some certain fields that is going to prompt you to want to spend. So of course, I'm being a religious volunteer.
You guys would select all. That will give you access to all the courses.
Church group or volunteer agency that sponsored me. If you don't, you need to fill that in with some something. Because it's a requirement to be a top 95 fish. And so if you don't know, then the states don't know. I know that my sponsor. I'll ask you for religious purposes. So there's a drop down here for you to figure out what that religious preference is going to be. And Protestant Christianity. If you know the facility or the institution, say institution that you're going to be serving at, list it. If it's unknown, if you can leave it there. In fact, the default there for unknown. But I think I'm going to probably want to know more. You know, it's not applicable. And of course, make sure you click the security. I'm not a robot. And click create. I'm going to send an email to my Chocolate Gmail account.
So you're going to automatically get an email to your account notifying you. In this particular instance, it didn't happen for me.
So I'm going to look for.
So I'm looking for that email now. It didn't show up.
For instance, I did not.
But you can go back and you can tell them
email confirmation.
Resubmit it.
So I went back to the site again, and I had to resend my confirmation email. Now when I go into my email, hopefully, so to confirm my new account, please go to this web address. It gives me a web address to go to. So I click that. Our registration has been confirmed. Now I can continue. And I'm now enrolled in my religious volunteer training. And my dashboard.
Every user is going to get their own dashboard that will bring up the most recently sites, access sites, so it gives a quick reference, and they've got their thing well on the side.
Yeah. Now this time I should be able to click this volunteer again. Now I can get ready to take. Exactly. And that's how new registrants she gets into the system.
Can you talk back up just a little bit?
Yeah. How far back do you want to go?
2010.
What showed the courses?
Now, this time I should be able to click on the volunteer again. And, now I can get ready to take.
Hold on just a minute. Yeah. Go back.
Yeah. And I'm now enrolled in my position volunteer training. My registration has been confirmed. Now I can continue. And I'm now enrolled in my position volunteer training.
Am I still missing that?
No, it's good work.
Okay. All right, there you go.
Dashboard.
Dashboard. All right.
Back to
keep me straight there, chat.
Personalized dashboard. I can edit.
No, just not. It's fine.
Back to the site homepage.
Oh, it's just there now. There you go.
All right. I was trying to get to that point and show you with every, there's tests involved for each thing to show that they have a working knowledge. And there's a 4 or 5 page document they read for Tutwiler, Women's Services. There's the Moss group PowerPoint that's on this that they read. And then they answer like the Moss group test. They answer that, disgrades the test, gives you a pass fail immediately. So there's the information they read, there's the test they take, passing score. They're certified. If not, it gives them a chance to retest and retest until they can pass, and then they're certified. All right. What else have you got on?
No, that's it for.
Okay. That's how a volunteer will register to a site, how they'll get the information, how they'll test. Any questions on that volunteer process to this point? Good. Yes, sir.
The application is still going to be on paper.
Application's on paper.
And we still have to be responsible for getting them the application ready. But they're going to come to the prison, we take it up front, and then we have to get them to fill it out. And then do we have to take that to ICS for the background check or how?
This site has a link to the forms. They can download them at home, print them, fill them out, and then you with your people determine how you want that. If they want to mail them in, if they want to scan them and email them, I guess they can do that. We just couldn't put that those forms on this site with fillable information because of the transmission of personal identification information.
So, Chaplain Brown, if I'm a new volunteer or old volunteer, I can come right to this site. I can download this entire folder, all these PDF forms, and go to my laptop, my file manager, print them out, fill them out, send them to you. If I don't know where to send them, there's instructions on the site, and there is a link here where I can find all my links back to your main site. It gives all the points, contacts, or whatever that you have for your facilities.
So when the background check is shown, completed, and it's good, how would that information be given to us as well?
That's good.
You'll determine that by facility, what you want to do. Once you download the Excel forms with everybody that's had training, the first column that we don't use, I think it's like column I, you can put that date in there that NCIC was approved. It'll be added to this site for future use.
So
if you'll fill it out, email it back to me, to Chuck, it'll get hand input in there for the date the NCIC was done.
So what could happen, Chaplain Brown, is when you guys have the NAC, the dates, all of these users will already be in here. And they've got a profile with all of their fields. I can simply add the field that's going to have the approval date. You give that to me. I'll upload it to the person's file. And that way, when you get your spreadsheets each month, that date will be there. And we can also bring into that spreadsheet when the expiration date's going to be, depending on how you do it for the facility. So you'll have it all in one place, but we are going to have to do an initial data entry.
That'll be manual hand input, but it'll get there.
I have a question that in all around there. So that when the volunteer completes his application, does he again bring the form, or does he email it back to the website?
Well, the website says they'll contact you, and then you figure out how you want it. And the website directs them to contact the chaplain about the disposition of that form, or whomever they're going through the whatever person it is. Contact the institution and see how they want to handle that form. It gives you the autonomy at the institution to handle it your way.
So while the site, and we'll talk about this toward the end of the presentation. So while the site is specifically geared to training, the training aspect for the volunteers, it's scalable, which means depending on how your processes are, you get us this information, we can put it into the database here as far as the dates, because we can't have PII on the site right now. Then all of a sudden it all just kind of comes in. So we can kind of do what we want to with this and bringing your processes into this, so you still are getting that single reporting out of this. Yeah. But for right now, we're just talking about the training, but I like the conversation because we've had that talk on how we're going to get the processes lined up to see how we can get more value out of this. Yes, sir.
So they still do an application for every prison that they want to go into, since every institution is going to have its own final say. If I want to go in Elmore, I'm still going to have to do an application for Elmore, one for Stain, and that type of thing.
That's an institutional decision.
Yeah, and I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, because I did the federal side. I'm only been with the state for a year. I'm assuming that if I, as a user, download those forms and fill them out, that I can simply make copies and send them to the other institutions that I want. Yeah.
But if Elmore wants to accept Staten's NCIC approval or Tutwiler's NCIC approval, you have that option.
And once I get that confirmation from an institution and I put it in the system, then you can easily access the system and see.
We're trying to make it adaptable so each institution can make their own rules and their own determinations as to what they're comfortable with.
Okay, so let me show you from a user perspective what you'll see, what they see, and then I'll show you what you would see. So I'm going to switch my role to student. And when I come into the site, let's take religious volunteer. Go back again, because obviously it did not take, so I want to switch my role to student. There we go. So now you'll only see, they can leave feedback on the site if they want to leave feedback. There's a couple questions there. Again, have the instructions on what they'll be seeing. This link takes them right back to your ADOC list so they can see how to contact the institutions. And then all they do is they can review the course material. It's in a PDF form. They review the material, pops up. So they can, and I like the pop-up because the pop-up allows them to review the material and then not leave the application of the screen. And then the next thing they do is they take the quiz. I've already attempted the quiz here. I got 100. And they can reattempt the quiz. There's an instructional video on the site homepage that walks through every step of the exam. The exam's kind of neat. For a religious volunteer and the chaplaincy, it's 10 questions each. And if you miss a question, you can automatically come back immediately, real time, review what questions you missed, and then be able to go back and retake it again if you want to. You instantly know whether you pass or whether you need to take it again. And you'll get a little message that says, congratulations, you passed. And if you fail, you get a message that's saying, it doesn't say anything derogatory, but it says, you need to take it again. All right. So, but you got to watch me because I get a little crazy sometimes. All right. They can control where they go. They can log back out. But along the side is the menu here that hides or can open up. And they can go down to the chaplaincy section. It's clocking on me here. And when it does that, I'll just go in again. Okay. Technology, I love it.
Our regulations, our regulations require an annual training.
So I can use this again, which I was trying to do, to show you that I don't have to scroll down. I can go right here and immediately it takes me back. Same situation here. They won't see the hidden stuff, but they'll get the material, take the quiz, and they're done.
That's what we call the 50 rules or the general rules for volunteers. That's that section.
Can you show them just the vendor contractor?
Yes.
Hey.
So everything is uniform in regards to administration of taking the test and 50 rules. And the only distinction is when it comes to institution as the warden, NCIC,
That's the distinction. We left the autonomy for the warden to approve or disapprove based on NCIC, whoever he wants in or she wants in their camp. All this site does is verify training. This is not approval. This is just training. That approval is still vested at the institution.
So I'm going to log in as a teacher with non-editing rights, which is what you would have. And that's this dashboard. You want to see vendor?
Vendor. For those who need PREA training only, the contractor coming in to fix something in the kitchen, somebody do something on the fence, whatever it is, for those who need just the PREA training, the contractor vendor section gives them the same PREA course material and the same PREA test that you saw earlier. They can come in, they can take that. And their name will be, the benefit to this is now their name is recorded in that Excel spreadsheet. So IPCM, you have that on a document at the end of the year, along with everybody else that's come in your institution.
So what you'll be able to do if you wanted to give that scenario of what happens if they come to the gate or whatever, But you'll have the access to be able to go in and see who passed. So nobody has taken the contract vendor training yet.
All right.
No, I don't think he did be in here.
It's okay.
But let's take a look at somebody that I know has done it. So let's go into the religious volunteer. So this is exactly what you guys will be able to see. You'll be able to see all the things that are hidden from the user. You'll be able to see those here. And if I want to see who's taken the PREA quiz, this tells me everybody who's taken the PREA quiz, when they took it, how long it took them to take it, when they started, when they completed, and you can download it to Excel.
You in real time at the institution can see this.
If there's somebody at the gate, if you want to use that example, if there's somebody at the gate and there's, hey.
Okay.
All right, well, I'll get with you. You can, I'll let you talk to Randy because okay. Those questions are correct. So. All right. So if I want to know if Cam Sheffield, he's at the gate and we don't know whether he's been trained or not, you'll be able to go in and see everybody that's been awarded a certificate. So 23 people have successfully already passed training. A certificate is given to the user as soon as they pass the test. A certificate will be emailed to them. You'll be able to go in and see who's received those certificates. Each certificate will have a particular code, so it can't be counterfeited. And what it's awarded, and what you'll be able to do is see the certificate. What was when it was updated. Now, if I happen to be driving around and somebody has a question or whatever, or the user has a question and they want to see, there's a mobile app to this. So with the mobile app, I can simply go on my telephone site. I need to figure out whether Cam Sheffield has taken the chaplaincy certificate. I can access it through my phone. And I know on Zoom you can't see this, but what's that, chap?
That's a certificate for Cameron Sheffield.
When did he take it?
March 16th, 2021. You haven't shown the unique code on the screen.
Oh, let me show you the unique code on the screen. There you go. Lower left-hand corner.
This down here is different on every certificate.
Like a fingerprint. All right. You also have access in your role to be able to look at activity completion. You can see everybody here who has completed and reviewed the material, and you can also download that to Excel. So let me show you. Let me log out. Let me show you the spreadsheet. So this is a section I created, just the concept, and you'll be able, well, yeah, access, you'll be able to do it. Oh, what did you do?
Malware.
kicked in and sold and scanned.
Well, they better act right here. All right. I got too many chaplains in the room for the devil to get involved with my spreadsheet here. Let's open it up. So this is the master data from the spreadsheet. I have to manipulate a little bit of it, clean it up, but for the most part, all of this can be, and this is sorted by last name. It's real simple. It's just a sort there. And you can filter this to see so you'll get the course that they're enrolled in, you get the sponsor, their religious preference. Again, you've seen this before, the date that they took the test. If you see a blank, they didn't take the test. Populated expiration date, and then their first, second, and third choice for institution.
And one of the choices is all institutions.
Yeah. There's a neat little trick that if I want to know how many people on this master list are at Fountain? Let me see Fountain. Okay, it'd be nice if I typed in Fountain. Let me type in Fountain. Well, it's not let me type in Fountain. Oh,
we can just tell them. It can sort by institution. And you can get just the ones that come to your institution. And all institutions.
So typically the formula is I can type in, oh, it's in a protected view. All right, okay.
This might be a good time to take a break and answer some questions because looks like Chaplain Brown has a question.
All right.
It sorts by institution. Can it also sort by large group, say if you got chiros that come in your institution twice a year and it's 57 of those at one time. And now you got to go through each name.
Yeah, the short answer is yes.
Yeah, you can put in, if the sponsor is chiros, then I can filter off of that.
I'm good.
Yeah, you can get it down to chiros people at Elmore.
Yeah. So
once you get it in an Excel spreadsheet and they've got it tied together so that the Moodle is the people who do the testing for us, that they have the software for testing. Once it's downloaded into an Excel spreadsheet, you can do anything with that Excel spreadsheet that you can do with any Excel spreadsheet. You can manipulate it however you want to. Once you download it and do it at your place, it will not make a permanent change on the permanent record until you request it and then it's hand-entered again at a later date.
I can tell you now, I'm doing it right now for you, Chap. You only got two people out of First Baptist Montgomery. All right.
That's Elmore's First Baptist volunteer.
Well, that's everybody.
Everybody.
That's
okay.
Everybody.
But, yeah. Anything you can do with Excel can be done to this once you download it.
Let me try to do what I was trying to do before because it was protected. And then if you want to take a quick break, and then I'll finish this up or whatever. But
do we have another question while he's doing that?
So if I want to know how many are in Fountain, I have, stop it. And this is live data. I just took a snapshot of this. So there are 12 people who have already successfully passed training at Fountain. And that's how quickly we can get this information. Now there's some other things we can do as well. And that could be site specific. Chaplain, I can give you a chart that will tell you how many people in each group are coming in, either for the master list or for your institution. Easy. I can tell you what the religious preference is. According to the master, 71% of the folks that are in here are Protestant Christian volunteers. I love this chart. I don't know if you guys are going to get much use out of it, but this tells me immediately which of my volunteers needs to do whatever need to do. And Mr. Nope has only taken the PREA test, has not taken the chaplaincy test. So not approved yet. If you don't see anything there, they haven't tested at all. So that's a quick reference, and I can also give you volunteers by facility. So I don't know if these are metrics that would be helpful that you've had before, but there's some new capability here.
And if there's something you won't submit it, and we might can make that happen also.
And there are tabs that we can break out on the master, but I think in talking to Chaplain Woodfin, what we can do is we can, with that filter, we can create your own out of the master. We can identify what volunteers, whether they've been approved or not, into this, put them this will be in alphabetical order, and then you just simply go in and, you know, click on it, and then you'll have the same spreadsheet, but it'll be filtered for just your organization. You want to take a break? Because I'm almost done with this. Or we can just keep going. It doesn't matter to me. The only other thing I want to share with you as I go back is there's a lot of capability here. So, I'll show you women's services. And again, I can use this. That's where they got the PowerPoint presentation. It's large because it has a video associated with it. Good video. And I can also go in again and figure out who's completed this. And, okay, so three. Yeah, there you are.
Yeah.
Okay. And I can, again, go in and see what the certificate says, and it tells me when they completed the training. And we can do that for every single module under women's training.
And now, it has in women's training, we've got the PREA gender sensitivity is the PowerPoint he was referring to. There's also underneath it the religious volunteers. Stan, there's the general volunteers that go with that. I guess if they're coming in and not having inmate contact, they would just go back to the general PREA course. But Tutwiler, Birmingham Women's, and Montgomery Women's, y'all can decide what level of what you want people to take and direct them to that place. But the great news about it is if somebody contacts you that morning and says, let me think of engineering, some of the workers, something's broken and we got to get somebody in an hour, they can go online, take this test, get that certificate emailed to them, and show up at your gate with that certificate, I'm trained. And it emails in seconds upon completion, and then you can know they've gone online. And if they've got the certificate, they've got it. So whatever you need for them to do, you can validate it that way.
They can also leave feedback, and we can do analysis on the feedback. So there are three responses. Yes, very easy. I mean, you can do all kinds of surveys off of this. Multiple choice, true, false, text. So everybody likes it, and you can also do analysis based upon the responses, because I got a multiple choice response out. So three people have left feedback out of the 30, and you can export this data to Excel. One other thing I want to show you, which I tested earlier today, Oh, they can also leave comments along the side here too. I'm just going to forward you his comments. And you might want to look at this for future capability. So the site will also allow you to leave an announcement. For instance, I want to add a discussion topic and say, Tutwiler is closed. Volunteers will not have access today. Post to the forum. I don't know how quickly this does this, but
it says 30 minutes.
Well, before I can make change, so it might be 30 minutes, but eventually you might want to check because it might.
Well, we are closed for volunteers today at Tupwiler.
Okay, well, all right, so check your email. You get an automatic email notification. The Tutwiler closed. That's going to be very valuable to volunteers if you guys want to use this feature, because then they'll save them a 45-hour trip out to the facility and then not have to get turned back around again because it automatically hit their phone and tell them what that message is. And if it hasn't hit your email yet, it will.
Well, I see how often this thing updates.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The other thing is when they're PREA training is expiring, it'll send an email to their email address. Your training is expiring.
We'll have to manually generate the email, but we can do that. I'm getting ready to, and there's a lot of other items. They all get badges and that type of thing. But so let me just give you a quick summary. So you got a web-based cloud solution, all right? Everything's in the cloud and it's secure. Moodle is the name of the platform. It is a learning management system. It is one of the premier learning management systems. It's international. It's used by colleges and universities across the globe. So we have something really slick and robust that you can do a lot of things to. And we're getting the latest version of this. This is version 3.10. We will not have to upgrade this version for several years. Got a vendor to support us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. If there's an issue that I can't figure out or my team can't figure out, I can show you if you want to, but I mean, you can download, upload images, YouTube videos pretty quickly. Well, videos might take a little longer because based upon the size or whatever. But I can drag and drop files from my file manager right to the site immediately. There are a lot of resources and activities. They've got an online chat. They got different forums. You can upload pages, websites, URLs. All of that stuff is contained in this because it's what universities use for online training. Of course, I already told you about the mobile app. I was getting my second COVID test. COVID shot and just kind of sat there and wanted to figure out how this worked and logged on with the mobile app out of PlayStation or Play, whatever, wherever you get the mobile stuff at apps, and, you know, so I downloaded it to my phone and getting my second shot and in 15 minutes took 3 tests off the site. So real easy. You already saw some of the metrics, that we're able to do, and I'll have a team kind of looking at some other things that we can do as well. You know, ADOC benefits. Your data is going to be exported to Excel. Showed you that. We can break it down by institution. It's not real time as far as the spreadsheet because I got to kind of play around with it and manipulate the data as it comes out of the website. But I already showed you as far as validating whether a person has been trained. That's real time. And Jack Brown, once we get the information on their background check status and we load it into the database and the website, that's kind of instantaneous as well. but you'll be able to kind of see that or whatever. All right. Definitely going to reduce the backlog of expired volunteer training. And it's not limited to the faith-based organization. It's any volunteer, non-religious volunteers wants to come into it. We can control who sees what. Again, as you mentioned, we can forecast when people's training is about to expire. There's not a lot of risk here. This is a what they call a open source platform. So the code is not custom code. We don't own the code. Updates and things of that and patches, that's automatically done by the vendor support. And everybody has a unique profile and user. There's no cost to ADOC this year. The ministry is sponsoring this, and you're getting my expertise in process and program management. And I've been IBM, PricewaterhouseCoopers. I mean, I'm giving you that for free because I kind of like him. When he ticks me off, then, you know.
Well, that'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, all right. All right. Volunteer benefits. I hear volunteers have been asking for this for quite a long time. I know with the We Care folk that come in and do their revivals or whatever, they come from all over the place. I mean, they come from out of town. They gotta get a hotel. They gotta do all kinds of stuff. They don't have to do that. They can do this in the living room. So it's really gonna save them a lot of time. I've had several volunteers come back to me and say, you know, I took the training, but I don't know whatever happened to it, and I didn't hear anything back and stuff like that. Well, maybe they didn't do everything they were supposed to do. Well, the website's going to tell them what they need to do specifically. And two, they know real time whether they passed the test or not. So there's no more confusion or questions on that. And I like the fact that it's going to open the door to new prison ministry opportunities. Especially with COVID. I've had some volunteers that said, nah, I'm not going back. And I'm trying to get younger people to get excited about prison ministry because it seems like all the volunteers I see are getting kind of old like me. So this offers the opportunity to be able to get some folks in to do prison ministry, and they don't even have to go into the facility. I mean, David took 300 folk or whatever to get his stuff back, but he left some other folk to watch the stuff, and they got the same reward as the people that were doing the fight. I ain't got a problem with that. So, and it is scalable. That means we can increase this based upon the number of users. I think we can add some value to your business processes in doing this. I've already heard some of that. There's a community impact here too, because for me, when I was growing up, I had good parents. They weren't wise to a whole lot of things, but they kept me out of some gangs and trouble. I got a good education because I was going to school in the hood, and all of a sudden somebody gave me a scholarship because I could draw a little bit, and I got some counselors that really tried to help me out, and somebody gave me a job. So every summer out of college, I was able to get a job as a bank teller in the bank. And just kind of learned, and it built up my resume. So I've been able to recruit a couple of interns. One's a high school senior, and the other a second-year sophomore at a university. And they're going to be mentored and trained on this. And you just can't beat this kind of experience on a young person's resume. To be able to be a site administrator and support first-ever metrics for the first-ever online volunteer training site for the entire state of Alabama. So that's what I thank you guys for the opportunity for your attention. That's what you're able to do to a couple of people, and they can do it in the comfort of their home. So I'm looking forward to expanding those types of opportunities. There's one more thing I want to show you, and then I'm done, and that is, and it's still in the works. But on the side here is Alabama Prison Ministries. It's a link to another site. And I'm just working on this. But my hope is that I've got this. When we had the summit, some of you came to the summit last year. A few of you came, chaplains came to the summit last year. We had that collaboration of all the different churches and prison ministries, and I recognize some of you from that summit. And I had a big old spreadsheet of contacts for halfway houses and those types of things. I'm going to work on getting that all loaded to this one site. And so you'll see, you know, those prison ministries like We Care and Kairos and others, hymn ministries or whatever. And we'll put that and load their website address in here. I'll load in the halfway houses and things like that or whatever. Some of the church ministries, I got an example where you can see the link to get to their sites and their prison ministry sites and things of that nature. But the neat thing about it is I can type in the announcements and say if there's a need. So Chaplain Brown, I'll pick on you because, you know, I got that relationship with you. If your facility is running low on PPE or hygiene and you know, you want to put the word out, you let me know or you'll have access to this. You can put that announcement in here. And it'll go out to everybody who subscribes to this. And they'll get an email notification that says, got a need at Elmore. Let's get together and fulfill that need. That is my portion of the presentation. Let me get out of here. If I can figure out how to stop sharing.
Yeah, let's get back to the Zoom meeting screen and see if somebody had a question. I thought I saw a chat notice that we might have had a question from the institutions.
Yeah.
And we'll be looking for your feedback here in a few moments. Is there something, some kind of report that you want out of this that would help you more than what you've seen? I can't say we can do everything, but the technical guy can tell you what we can and can't do. But if there's something special you want to see, there's something special that would make it easier for you, maybe something we overlooked. I'll tell you how this actually started. Chuck referenced it a little bit. Years ago, we had folks saying, boy, I wish I could get my PREA training, my religious volunteer training at home. Can you record it? Let me watch a video on the internet, something. So that's what we started from. With COVID being what it is and us not being able to meet together, we weren't going to be able to volunteer train. And when we got ready to start programs again, we would have untrained volunteers because it's been a year since we've had anything. So we had to do something. And this is a lot more than the something I thought we were going to do. And then once we got to discussing the somethings we do, well, the contractors and contractors and vendors, there you go. They would need a place to come in and go. The general volunteers, AANA people, maybe aid inmate mothers, however they fall in that, they would need a place to go. So it kind of grew, and maybe it didn't grow as far as it needed to go, and you might tell me we need this. Maybe there's something on a report that you need more specific than what we've been able to provide, and maybe we can, maybe we can't. But what's your feedback? What's questions, feedbacks, needs improvement?
And for the Zoom crew, I'm sorry you didn't see the spreadsheet, but I'm showing you the spreadsheet now.
Can you see it now? Yeah, the Zoom people.
And here's some of the sample metrics that you were not able to see.
Okay, while they're looking at that, what about y'all? Yeah, if y'all don't have something, we're going to end early. Okay, see?
Concerning the,
I know how to motivate.
Yes. Concerning the mobile app, you said you can get the mobile app. What's the name of the mobile app?
Oh.
The name of the mobile app.
Yeah, let me do that.
And why wouldn't it be available on the website where they can just download it off the website when you have an Android or a platform?
There's always techie people, aren't there?
Yeah, that's okay. It's a very good question. Mobile docs for this app. All you do is go down to the bottom of the page, and we'll have some instructional stuff on this.
And when I did that, that's, I'm assuming that it's just Moodle. And I want to have a Moodle platform which this can set. Why would I need to do that if I go to the website?
You know, it's not popping up like I wanted to pop up, but bottom line is you just go to PlayStation, type in Moodle, pops right up.
But then I get a Moodle app.
It is a Moodle app.
Okay.
Yes.
How does that benefit me as a volunteer or,
how does the Moodle app get them to this?
Oh.
Is what I think, what
the Moodle app will let me do everything that I described on this laptop and do it on my phone.
Okay. So as a privileged user, I would be able to go in and do all those other things.
Yeah.
A platform on which to be able to operate.
Exactly. Okay. Look, so when I told you I was getting my second COVID shot,
right.
I pulled out my phone. I took my religious volunteer test. I took my chaplaincy test. And just for laughs and grins, I took the Priya part for the women's training.
And so that, I cannot go to the Alabama Conference website. Get on the website as a volunteer on my phone, unless I download Moodle.
No. You can go to the website on your phone. Like, well, you can do that now.
Right. You don't.
Well, how much could you do on the phone?
As a privileged user.
Yeah.
Okay, so as a privileged user,
yeah.
I would be able to.
Because you can, yes, exactly. I see exactly what you're saying now. Yeah. You can go through, you can see things, and you can probably download some things too. Just because it's a website.
Right.
So you hit the website just like you would on your phone. But I don't think you can take the exam. So, yeah, yeah. And I don't think you'll be able to pull up your, well, you might be able to pull up your certificate. I don't know.
But if I download Moodle, I would be able to do that.
Yeah, well, I know I can't. Yeah, from as an administrator, I could not do that before. I could not go and check to see whether Joe Blow has a certificate or not. With just, without the app.
A big deal of that.
No, it's not a big deal. It's a good question.
But when I download Moodle onto this phone,
right.
I'm assuming Moodle has a lot more places to go than just ADOC volunteer And so, how do I see volunteer?
You'll have an account. It'll go straight to your account.
Okay.
Yep. That's a very good question.
User.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So once you, good question. Haven't tested it, but it's a good question.
This is beyond my technical ability.
So you don't download the Moodle app until you get an account on the ADOC website, because then it has you locked in as a user. So when you download the Moodle app, you automatically get logged in as a user. That's how it should work with your privileges there. At least that's how it's working for me, because when I downloaded it, I had my administrator privileges to allow me to see what I needed to see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, for the officers that are using this, how do they get that privilege disposition? Do they have to turn their name in?
Yeah, that way.
You know, I clicked on the wrong thing. Here's
we'll go back to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mobile app. And it'll tell you where to go, App Store, get it on Google Play.
Yeah, it'll get pretty easy. I mean, just going down to the bottom of the website, clicking onto it.
Yeah.
It'll be on the
Yeah.
But I'm going to lie.
And for most users, why would you want the Moodle app if you've already gone in and taken the test and everything else? Why would you want it? But as an administrator, as a person, as a volunteer who goes to facilities, I want that just in case somebody wants to know what my credentials are. I pull up on my telephone. Yeah.
That you can't have in prison.
Volunteers
ask. Well, they can walk out to the gate with me. Yeah. Pardon me, sir.
Volunteers ask all types of questions.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. Let me deal with a couple of things came up during that before I forget them. I'm at that age. I forget things. How will somebody at the institution have the account to go in and see these things? Well, one thing, you're sending me your emails and a note that says I attended training. We will be sending out either individual accounts for each of you or one per institution with a password everybody can access. The username, the permissions this has does not allow you to edit anything. So you can't change anything. So there's no damage can be done. It's just that you can go in and access, see what's there, download a spreadsheet. So it may be one per institution. It may be one per person, but you're emailing me your name and your email address. And the technological wizard here will figure out what's the best way in this app to do that, in this platform.
Had a question from in the chat on can I filter this by non-religious volunteer? And yes, you can in the spreadsheet. I have it on my screen. I went in as an admin user and did it that way. But yeah, it's easy just to filter and determine, you know, by volunteer type.
Yeah, once it's downloaded into the Excel spreadsheet, you can manipulate that how you manipulate any other Excel spreadsheet.
So on the spreadsheet, two people so far out of the 30 that have completed training are completed general volunteer section.
And I know this is a little slanted and a little heavy on religious volunteers, but that's probably going to be about 70 to 80% of the people accessing, because that's probably about 70-80% of the people who come behind their fence are religious volunteers. Okay, Chaplain Brown, you had another question?
Yeah. Well, now that you put out an email, okay, volunteer chaplains could come back to work. My question is now, do they need to go home immediately since they already back in? We have not done a prayer in about a year. Are you saying that they need to go in now and do a updated prayer test and get certification? First question.
The answer to that question is when we go live with this site, yes, they will need to do that then. This site is up and it's available, but we've not put a link on our main webpage. When we're ready for everybody to flood it, we'll have a link from the homepage that we will do that, and that's when you need to do that. You have another one, Brian?
I believe, though, sir, well, correct, hit me if I'm wrong, but if you know somebody and they log on and they take the religious volunteer training now,
it'll be there, yeah.
It counts. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like a grocery store that's a brand new grocery store, a restaurant, and it's open, but you got a sign that says grand opening in 2 weeks. So we haven't publicized the grand opening, but you can still go in and get your food.
Yeah. Last question. The folks that have not had a prayer test in over a year, and we need to notify them at some point about this, or y'all going to be responsible for the people that come in there, or how are we supposed to let them know and how much time we have before they start opening up and coming back in? Because my understanding is that when we open the door and say, yes, Church of the Highlands can start coming back in, all of those folks ought to already have access and got some kind of certificate showing up at Elmore saying that they been certified to come back in. Am I right?
You're right, yes. Where you are down in the weeds with all that is hopefully in a week or two, we'll have the link to the ADOC website. It'll be, you can go to ADOC website, link it to the training, then your people can go in. We will announce that then, that the link is on the website and it's ready for use. And then each institution, each entity will be responsible for notifying their volunteers. I don't have every volunteer's email and phone number and all that, but the institution should. So that's going to be an institutional function to notify whoever needs to know there's a link there, and word will get around pretty quick, at least to the religious community, that that's out there.
I was hoping, hit me again if I'm off, you know that spreadsheet summit, all those collaborators, to have kind of like a virtual summit that just talks about this, probably give them this same type of, across Zoom and let them know. And that will be, in fact, he's already doing it because he's already contacted some of the agencies and told them to do it. The only limitation we have is we can only have 50 concurrent users, which should not be an issue.
Concurrent is on the site at the same time.
Right. So I think we've been telling WeCare and Highlands, hey, just, you know, phone them in 20, 30, you know, at a time, and, you know, let's get it done.
Definitely.
And we indicate that institutions, are we telling them at this present time, because you said that the emails aren't open yet, that they can indeed go take the test and be ready, even though we don't have a date, we're going to allow them to come in?
It was, yes, you can tell this by rumor now, and there will be an official start in a couple of weeks when the link is on the website. But yeah, you can rumor it now.
Absolutely. Forgive me because I'm. You probably don't want a backlog. Once you get an open date and all of a sudden you got, you know, like a snake trying to swallow a pig, you know, backlog. So especially if you got a limitation of 50 concurrent users. So if we can already get people in and approved, It lessens that backlog as you get that date. So, you know, I'm looking forward to being able to, you know, get as many people in now before that date, because I got to do some manual updating of those prior dates or whatever, and that'll allow me to get that done so that your spreadsheets are going to be very accurate. The only concern would be if you guys don't approve all of the sites. So I've told them, I think we're okay with all the sites, yeah. But I've told some folk, hold off on hitting this particular site because, you know, I don't want you to waste your time, you know, going through 20 questions and then all of a sudden, you know, you guys shift and decide, you know, we don't want to use the site.
Well, just being specific, Women's Services and the Department of Justice and the concessions we've made for them, is a concern if they come back and have an issue with this. But as far as everything else, yeah, it's wide open and a go. And the fact that Women's Services is here and represented means that they intend to use it, but the DOJ can always come back and remove that approval. Right, Captain Blanding? is that a good statement? Okay.
I've been telling people to hit it.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. We can rumor it, but there is, and as Chuck was referring, the store's open for a few weeks before the grand opening. That's kind of where we're in. We're between opening and grand opening. Because when we do put the link on the site, I imagine it's going to get a lot of traffic real quick.
Chapter Woodson.
Questions. Is somebody on...
Somebody's trying to ask something on Zoom.
Yeah, this is Chaplain Adams. Chaplain. There, the question.
Okay, that's Chaplain Adams at Donaldson. Hang on a minute. We're going to get you plugged into the speaker system here. Can we hear him now?
Okay, can you hear me now?
No, not any better.
Okay, go ahead, Chaplain Adams.
Okay, quick question. Given this new format with the PREA and the testing and the exams and all, are we going to be required to do new NCICs on all of our volunteers, some that have been coming here for over 20 years or so?
Okay, his question is, given the new PREA site and testing, are we going to have to do new NCIC checks on the volunteers. And I refer each of you to your own warden for their compliance and what they say and they desire. Is that answered, Chaplain Adams?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's a warden's call. Or division director, based upon who you're here representing. Any other questions? Y'all just want to get out early, don't you? If y'all threatening each other, don't be that kid in class that asks that question and reminds the teacher we ought to have homework. All right.
So yeah, just for review.
Okay, you're going to be that person.
That's right.
Okay.
Just for review.
This is the one you beat up after class. Okay, it's Chris Summers Holman. He's going to hold you. Okay.
All right. So number one, we're talking about which volunteers.
General volunteers.
General volunteers, like for school, training, special programs.
Nurses, public health, IPOs.
Okay. And then we're in the third category, vendors.
Vendors and contractors.
Okay. So that's the area that we're talking about servicing as far as PREA.
Yeah. The vendor and contractor section is only the PREA test. So that may be an attorney visit who's coming in, and we want to do PREA testing on an attorney or PREA certification on an attorney before they come in. They can do it there. The contractors who come in to fix broken equipment, the vendors who come in to stock your drink and chip machines, whomever else you might run into can come in. If a PREA test only is needed, that's that vendors and contractors section.
And, yes, sir. And the instructions will be there.
Legislation requires vendors and contractors to have PREA testing.
My understanding of PREA law, and I'll defer to any IPCM here, anybody comes behind our fence, steps across the threshold of our fence, has to have PREA training. That's the way it's been put to me. And I'm getting some nods, yes. I'm not getting any nods, no.
That's the instructions, Chaplain. I do have a question. You need to talk to them when they're sending vendors out to work on the camera systems and all of that. You know, they just send them. They don't do any paperwork, and just send them. You might even tell them they probably need to instruct them to do paperwork before they come, so it all be on file and everybody knows. But they can do it one time
because 9 times out of 10, the same vendors
that go to each
institution
to work on the
camera
system, the detectors, and all of that, so that they would know.
Well, I assume our engineering division would be the ones kind of overseeing those vendors come out for the cameras. They're in attendance at this meeting. So they've got that information now. Anything else? All right. For brevity's sake, I'm going to do this. If you have a suggestion, boy, I sure would like a report that looked like this, or I wish I had something that would do this, email me. That way we won't stay in the room because all y'all look like y'all said on go. I'm looking in the back at Chaplain Brown. I hadn't seen a setup like that since the track race when they were in the starter blocks. But, it's open to suggestions. It's scalable, I think, was the phrase he used. It's a scalable thing. There are things we can do. There's going to be some things you suggest we can't do. We'll do the best we can with what you request. So you got my email, thomas.woodson@doc.alabama.gov, and we'll go from there. If you want to stay behind and ask a specific question about your specific application, that's fine also. We plan to be here till noon. If that's it, every heart and mind's clear and we've taken up an offering, we'll dismiss. Okay.
may or may not be there, but there's the
the resumption committee will make that call.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not